All of us have something in our past that remind us of our shortcomings, right? Some of the things we've done remind us of our failings, or maybe some of the things that we regret in life. I know I've been there many times, that there are things that I've done or that have happened or that I've experienced in my past that I wish could be different in one way or another. And I don't think I've met a single human being to date that's not an infant that can say otherwise. I think we all have things from the past that tend to cause regrets of some kind. You know, some of us may have stuff from the past that keeps us from fully experiencing God's grace. And I've talked to many people in my lifetime where that is the case. They're stuck in the past. They can't get out of it. Some of us may be so concerned with changing the past that we're unable to live for God. We're trying to change something in the past. And I want to tell you that if this is you today, if you're struggling with that, then Satan has deceived you. He has completely deceived you. See, learning from the past is a good thing, but it's not the same as living in the past. And some of us are living there. Satan would love for you to be crippled by the haunting of anything in your past. God, however, wants to set you free. And that's what I want to talk about today. See, we can learn a lesson from Paul the Apostle in a letter that he wrote to the Philippians. And I want to go into a little context about this letter to the Philippians. How many of you have read Philippians before? It's a great book. It's full of wisdom. So Paul helped start a church in Philippi. You can read that in Acts 16 at some point if you're interested. So Paul helped start this church, and what Philippi was, it was a colony of retired Roman soldiers that have come to Christ. Okay, keep in mind, Roman soldiers that have come to Christ. Now imagine if you learned a little bit about the Romans and the Jews and how things went, that a Roman soldier to come to Christ is a very difficult thing for them to do in terms of walking away from who they were as a Roman soldier. There was prestige in that. There was honor in that. You were respected by other Romans, and you put all that aside now to follow Christ. That's a pretty hefty thing. Now, I watched a movie last night called Silence. Has anybody seen that? It's about these missionaries in the 1600s that went to Japan to bring people to Christ. And the suffering that they endured in doing so. And these Japanese that would come to Christ gave up everything. They went into hiding. They were afraid of their lives. They were afraid of being tortured to death. And so here you have these Roman soldiers that are basically deserting Rome in a sense, because if you were a Christian, you're going to be persecuted. And now they're living in this colony in Philippi. And so what you'll learn is that they sent Epaphroditus to bring money to Paul. They were a supporter of Paul. And now Paul sends Epaphroditus back with this letter to the Philippians. And what Paul was trying to do is encourage the Philippians to move forward, not to look back. He was encouraging them to stay firm to the gospel that they heard about. And he was thanking them for their support, for the money that they graciously gave to him while he was in prison. So let's take a look at Philippians chapter 3 today. And the main text I'm going to use is found in verses 10 through 14. Do I have anybody that would like to read 10 through 14? Go ahead, Dan.
My goal is to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Now that I have already reached the goal, not that I have already reached the goal, or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much. So what's important here is to think about Paul for a minute. We get a lot of context about who Paul is, what his past is, where he was when he came to Christ on the road to Damascus, what he was doing. And I would say that Paul had a pretty colorful past. One thing I learned about Paul is that he was out to stop what they called the way, the Christian movement that was taking place, people coming to Christ. He was out to stop it. And he would do it with force. He would do it with brutality. He's almost what I consider a terrorist, trying to stop Christianity. And of course, this is before he came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But Paul gives his own testimony, and I'm going to read this to you. It's in Acts 22, and verses 4 and 5. Paul wrote, "I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them into prison, as the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished." That's Paul's testimony of who he was before he came to know Christ. A murderer. Out to stop what God had set in motion. And now he's encouraging the Philippians. You see, if we go back to verse Philippians 3:13, he says this. He says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." I love that verse. You know, how many of us spend too much time focusing on the past? I'm sure we all do it at times, right? We all have our regrets. We all look back. I look at Paul, and I think of the things that he lost to become a Christian. Then I think about people today. You know, some of us might have lost something or someone in the past. Some of us might have remembered wrongdoings, and we focus on the things that we've done wrong and wish we could correct them. Maybe there's a missed opportunity that we're just set on going back and fixing. Or maybe there's a decision or a regret that we have. These are all things from the past that can haunt us. What I've had to come to realize, and I think Paul did here as well, is that none of those things can be changed. You can't change them. You cannot fix them. You cannot go back and change the way things happened. But the past can be used. It can certainly be used. It can help you as long as it's not crippling you. If it's holding you down and that's where you're stuck, there's a problem. What Jesus came to give us is an abundant life. And we got to live in the present because it's going to be gone tomorrow. Today will be gone tomorrow. So do you want those days to slip by you because you're stuck on the past? You have an opportunity to break those shackles today. To break the shackles of the past and live your purpose that God has given you today. Today only comes once. It's not going to come tomorrow. It comes once. So I want to encourage you today not to let today slip by living in the past. Paul learned to let go of the things of the past and look toward what's ahead. He looked forward according to this statement. Bless you. You know, Paul could have been wrapped in these chains of the past. You know, I think about Moses, I think about David, just countless people in the Bible that all had a very colorful past, and I'm sure they had many regrets. And I bet if they could go back and change them, they would. And I don't think Paul's any different than that. Paul had a lot of time in solitude. You read about him chained in prisons on a ship that was just off course, and he was had lots of time to himself. And I'm sure in those moments, he could easily go back and replay those things in his head. What a crummy person I am. I murdered people. I threw people in prison, women and children. I did all of these horrible things. But what Paul said, his secret here, is he said, I don't look at the past. I look forward. I look forward. I believe that that is a divine secret that we all need to let sink into our heads for a minute. If you want to find a grounded hope, if you want to have a life filled with Christ, it's today, it's in the present, not in the past. The past will rob you from that. Paul realized that there was something much greater that was worth letting go of those things in his past so that he could move forward. There's something much greater ahead, a goal. So let's talk about some of those things that we need to let go of. One of them that I think bogs us down often and really hurts our relationship with God is mistakes or sins that we've committed in the past. Too many people look at that and say, hey, I'm disqualified from the kingdom. I'll tell you what, if that's true, then Paul was wasting his time. Paul was wasting his time, putting his life in jeopardy, going from place to place, going through immense suffering to share the gospel, if that's true. So if it wasn't true for Paul, it's not true for you. Paul referred to himself in 1 Timothy 1:16 as the worst of sinners. How many people get together and compare sins and say, well, I'm the worst one? You think your sin's bad? Are you a murderer? Did you kill anybody? Did you persecute Christians and have them thrown in prison? And yet Paul's talking about this heavenly reward that he's going after. And he did those things.
But he changed his thoughts in the process.
Jesus changed his thoughts. Jesus gave him a new heart. He made him a new creation. I'm sure Paul had a haunting conscience, right? But what you read about Paul is in those times of solitude, shackled in prisons, the man spent his time focusing on God and what God would do with him versus what he did in the past. That's the secret here. I'm sure Paul could have easily had thoughts going on in his head such as, hey, I'm fooling myself. I'm just fooling myself. She'll get up. Poor thing.
Poor Abby. She's up. She's coming.
Oh, she just has a lot of slime in her eyes. She's pitiful.
There's a story that says that's the reason why your car is built the way it is, because your windshield shows you the future and your rearview mirror shows you the past.
There you go.
And that's why one is so big and the other so small.
That's a good, very good, Roy. I like that. I mean, if I were Paul and I was in solitude, there's two ways I could go about things. I could be going, man, Christ is just using me to spread his gospel, but there is no glory for me whatsoever because of all the things I did. He could have said that cross in Calvary was not big enough for me. It was meant for other people. It wasn't meant for me. He could have easily told himself that.
But then you remember the two guys that were hung on crosses on either side of Jesus.
Thief and, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. That is so true, Roy. I mean, I'm just thinking about it. I put myself in his shoes. Going, what a haunting past. I do something even remotely wrong in my conscience. Like, oh. Imagine murdering somebody just because they confessed their faith in Christ. And yet the cross was big enough for Paul. So if we're bogged down in that, look at Paul's life. Your sins are no greater than Paul's. The cross is still bigger than you. What Jesus did atoned your sin. And we can't get bogged down in that. You know how many of us have these sins just repeating in our head? You're not good, you're not good. Look at what you've done. That's the enemy talking. That's not God talking. Do you think God sits up there and he has this movie projector going and he's replaying all your sins over and over again? Saying, look at what you did. You didn't pay for that coffee. You think he's sitting up there thinking of ways he can punish us? Just coming up with new creative ways. Hey, I got a good way to punish him or her. That's exactly what Satan does. That's not who God is. God is your supporter. He's cheering you on. He sends all these prophets, and then he sends all of these people, and then he sends Jesus Christ because he loves you that much. And he's cheering you on, saying, come on, come on. I've forgiven that stuff. Why can't you? I've let it go. After Paul called himself the worst of sinners, we read in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. After he said, I am the worst. We don't need to replay those things over and over in our heads. We need to learn from them. We need to recognize where we failed. And God says, ask for forgiveness, you'll be forgiven. Repent, turn from those things. He doesn't say, keep playing them over and over in your head. He says, I've come to give you an abundant life. Do away with the old, you've become a new creation. We're reminded of the things where we've fallen, but we don't remind ourselves that, hey, we are a new creation in Christ, covered by the blood of Christ. When those things start to creep in, remind yourself of that, because that is God's truth. That is God's truth. Now, some of us may be hung up on things we've lost. I've lost many things in my life.
I lose things every day.
I've lost countless things. And you know what? I've learned that I don't care. I really don't care. I have something much greater ahead of me. Those things don't matter. You know, some of us dedicate our lives to getting it back. We lost something, and now our whole focus in life is to regain that earthly thing that we were holding on to so dearly. You know, everything good is from above. It's a gift from God. Enjoy it while you have it, but recognize that it can go tomorrow. And don't cling on to those things. Anybody here ever seen Napoleon Dynamite? The uncle that just wished he could go back and he's trying to create a time machine. And,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's what I think about. We look at that and say, that's silly, but how many of us do that? trying to live that way is robbing you of living for today. It's robbing you. I've seen so many disabled Christians because of this kind of thinking. It just stops you in your tracks. You can't move forward. Now, think about Paul. Paul lost a lot to become a Christian. But he gained so much more. You know, what you learn about Paul is that he was trained by a high, well-known Pharisee called Gamaliel. Is that his name? Do you remember? I think it was Gamaliel. He was a high-up Pharisee that was well-respected, and Paul was under his training, and he became a Pharisee.
Gamaliel,
thank you. Paul became a Pharisee, and a Pharisee was a sect of Jews that lived strictly by the law. They believed in the resurrection of the dead, where the Sadducees did not. And here Paul gave up that position that he had. He gave up his home. Poor thing. And he gave up a lot of friends. He gave up close friends as soon as he accepted Christ. He was a highly respected man in the Jewish community. And what he tells us is that he considered that all rubbish to gain Christ. Garbage. If you look at Philippians 3, go to verse 7 now and 8, which we didn't cover. He says this, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he said, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." I've learned that to be so true.
He went from the 100 to the 100.
That's right. That is so right. Paul considered finding Christ far greater than his losses. He said, "None of this stuff matters. This is all temporary. I now have an abundant life. I've found my purpose in Christ. My life is in Him. And I live to serve the King of Kings." Paul spent his new life looking forward, not backward. He wasn't going, "Woe is me, I wish I could be a Pharisee again. Look at the respect I gained." Think, well, look at the respect he has as a disciple. Well, if you read in Acts, people didn't trust him. People didn't like him. People were afraid of him because they knew he was out to stop Christianity. And so he didn't just instantly have friends. He had to constantly prove himself over and over again. But he never kept looking back. He looked forward. In verse 14, he said, "I press on forward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." His life goal was heaven-bound, not earth-bound. That's the direction he was going. He knew that's where the glory was. The good prophet Isaiah in 43, Isaiah 43, and I'm going to read this, 18 through 19. This is the Lord speaking, okay? This is God speaking through Isaiah. He says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." If God's saying that, I don't think he's up there playing this projector, this movie of your past, going, "Look at that, look at that, look at that." God himself says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." Then he goes on, he says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." The past is the past. The future is what God has put in place. We need to learn to look forward. We all have a past. We all have things we've done wrong. And the problem is too many of us get stuck on that. We get stuck on things we've lost. We get stuck on opportunities we've missed. We get stuck on these regrets. And instead of dwelling on what's ahead of us and the blessings that God has given you, we focus on all the other things, things that we can't even change. Writer of Hebrews 12:1, he says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." See, all these things entangle us. You ever pick up a fishing net and play with it? You know how easily you can get wrapped up in that thing and tangled up? Bless you. Or throw a whole bunch of extension cords in a box and then try and pull one out someday. That's what entangled is. You're so caught up and you're stuck in this web that you're ineffective. You're not living. You know, I've never seen anybody be able to change the past. What I have seen is people be able to change the way they live today. We can always change today. We are a new creation in Christ. You are born again. You are made new. You are a new creation. The old is gone. It's died. It's nailed to the cross. And we've been lifted up with Christ Jesus. Remember that Christ died for sinners. Not for the righteous, but for the sinners. See, God is not dwelling on our past, and neither should we. It is a dead-end game. It is a trick of the enemy. Get you all tangled up in these thoughts, saying you're not good enough, you're a failure. Guess what? That's exactly right. But we die to ourselves, and we allow Christ to live. Christ isn't a failure. Christ doesn't make mistakes. It's no longer us living, but Christ living in us. Without Christ, you're right, we're screwed up. But thank God he sent his Son, who gave us the Holy Spirit to live with. So let's let go of all those things. Let them go today. They're no longer who you are. Christ is who you are. Allowing Christ to live in and through you. That's what we were called to do. That's our purpose. That's our life as a new creation. Don't hold on to the things of this world. Don't let them pull you down. Don't let them defeat you. Your destination is that way, not this way. You know, I've learned in my short time here on earth that there is an enemy out there, and he does manipulate us in so many different ways. He lies to us. Many people don't even recognize that it's the enemy. He convinces us that we're not good enough, we're not worthy. Gets us to focus on the wrong things, things that are not of God. And you have to learn to recognize that when that's the enemy. And it is not a physical battle, it is a spiritual battle. And so the first thing we do is we turn to the Word of God. And we let the Word of God speak into our minds and our hearts and our souls, because the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, defeats the enemy. And we pray, we lift our hearts up to Christ, to the Father in heaven. We say, "Lord, I am struggling with this. Take this out of my life." And we remind ourselves that we are a new creation in Christ. God's not counting those sins against me.